Safra, we are dealing with sugyas of what invalidates the schach, or what invalidates the sukkah, we could say. And the last thing that we've been doing is that there is a difference between avir, which invalidates a sukkah, and schach pasul, that invalidates a sukkah. When it comes to avir, when it comes to airspace, so avir of 3 tfachim passes the sukkah. But when it comes to airspace, to schach pasul, so schach pasul of 4 tfachim passes the sukkah. That is daf yud zayin. And we also have been using our best friend called Dofen Akuma a lot. Our best friend of Dofen Akuma basically says that if you have up to 4 amos of pasul schach, but that pasul schach is at the wall of the sukkah, right? It's near the side. So in that situation, it's going to be okay. These are the basic halachos that we have been discussing. So now we'll begin from Yud Ches Amud Aleph. 11 lines from the top, Amar Abaye. Right, so far so good. Okay, so think about Amar Abaye. Avir shlosha besukkah gedola, umi'ato, bein bekanim, bein beshpudim, hevi miyot. Okay, what Abaye is saying is, if I have a sukkah gedola is kind of a very Jewish definition. Being big means not being really little. No? That's what the Gemara says. Sukkah gedola means any sukkah that is larger, that's larger than the bare minimum sized sukkah. Any sukkah that's more than 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim. So if you have avir of 3 tfachim in that sukkah, which is now pasul, but miyato, what I do is I put something into that airspace, thereby having less than 3 tfachim. So if I use, whether it's kanim, which is basically kasher eschach, bein b'shpudin, or I use metal spears, heavy miyot. Right? In both cases, that's a miyot. Meaning the sukkah that was previously pasul, because I had avir of 3 tfachim, I can fix it. I can rectify the situation, either by putting a piece of kosher schach in the middle, or by putting a piece of pasul schach in the middle, by putting a metal beam. But the sukkah katana, if I have a very small sukkah, meaning the minimum size sukkah, like 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim, it's less than 2 feet basically in each direction. If it's a sukkah katana, bekanim heavy miyot. Bishpudin lo hevi miyot. By a sukkah katana, in order to rectify the situation, you have to use kasher eschach. You can't use pasul eschach. Why not? Right, how come in the first case we say that I can diminish the size of 3 tfachim with pasul eschach? In the case of a large sukkah, the pasul eschach effectively diminishes the size, but by a small sukkah, it doesn't. Anyone?
Well, I guess that has to do with just fulfilling the criterion of a kosher sukkah, that you're supposed to have ideally 7 by 7 tefachim of kosher schach, but if you're filling in said air gap with more kosher schach, then you're completely rectifying the problem.
But if I use a piece of metal, doesn't that rectify the problem also? Like, shouldn't that say, oh, I no longer have a gap of 3 tfachim? And once I don't have a gap of 3 tfachim, it should be okay.
Well, there's two potential issues. There'd be the issue of a gap, which you're solving, but you're not solving the issue of a sukkah needs 7 tefachim of schach, of kosher schach.
Right. So very good. In other words, Rashi seems to be saying this point, although actually I think you said it slightly more in a more condensed way. Let's look at the Rashi. B'shpudin lo hevi miyot. Right? Rashi writes, v'af agav delo mizeh v'lo mizeh yeshir lefsol. Even though you don't have three tvachim from either side of the metal post, mihu, keva de'ika gimel tvachim b'hadodi, de'nafki mehechshar sukkah, chashivi ba'api nafshayu. Since I have a total of three tvachim of non-kosher sukkah, right? I have three tvachim non-kosher sukkah because the air is not kosher and the metal pole is non-kosher. So now I have three tvachim of non-kosher sukkah. So therefore, chashivi ba'api nafshayu, they are considered significant on their own. And they do not combine together to be mashlim the shir, but less l'shiur the sukkah. You don't have the shir of a sukkah. So I think what Rashi means is as follows, and Rachel was basically saying this, that l'maisa, I need a shir of seven tfachim, of kosher skach. That's what I need. In this case, I have a metal beam there, or a metal rod. So that means I might not have a gap of three tefachim, but I still don't have the requisite minimum amount of seven tefachim of kosher sach. Right? I think that's what Rashi is getting at. Oh. So this is a bayis statement, that by a sukkah katana, you have to do miyot with konim, not bishbudim. However, the Gemara then elaborates, v'hani mili min hatzad. This halacha that, let's say, if I have a tiny sukkah, so using pieces of schach counts as miyot, but using rods does not count as miyot. That's only true if it is min hatzad. If the gap, let's say, is on the side, which means next to the wall. If here's my wall of the sukkah, I have a gap between my ceiling and the wall. So then it's okay. Avo be'emtza, but let's say I have a gap in the middle of the sukkah. So pligi ba'rivacha v'rivina. Then it's a machlaikis. Chad amar yesh lavad be'emtza, v'chad amar ein lavad be'emtza. One opinion is that lavad applies in the middle of a sukkah. The other opinion is that lavad does not apply in the middle of the sukkah. That's the machlokes. Is there lavad be'emtza or not? Meaning, everyone holds if the gap is between the sach and the wall, that's going to be okay. You see, like my beautiful hands, right? Everyone holds that the less than three tefachim, that's okay. But when I have it be'emtza, if it's in the middle of the sach, so then there's a machlokes of Acham Ravina, whether yesh lavud be'emtza or ein lavud be'emtza. The Gemara goes on. My time of demand on my yesh lavud be'emtza. Why would there be lavud in the middle? It's a funny kasha and a funny answer, no? The Gemara asks, what's the reason why there would be lavud in the middle? And the Gemara proves it from a case in Meseches Erevin. Right? It's like a funny type of situation, because usually if I ask my time, well, what's the reason? So I'm looking for something in Svara. Right? Isn't that what my time is? What's the reason? But over here, look what happens. The Gemara asks my time, well, what's the reason for the man d'amar that there is love of be'emtza? Zok the Gemara d'tanya. If you have a korah that goes from one wall but does not reach the other wall. Okay. Chevra, do you remember what a korah is? So let's go like this. This is my courtyard. Right? As a courtyard, what this means is there are some houses, and they open up into this middle area. So this is my chater, it's my courtyard, it's my mavui, let's say. My mavui is a different type of courtyard. So I'm not allowed to carry over here because, right, I can't carry, let's say, over here by my ex. Because since there's a bunch of homes that open into this area, it's considered a semi-public space. So the halacha is, I can fix this mavoi, I can fix this alleyway in one of two ways. Either I build a vertical post, that's called a lechi, or on the top of the walls over here, I put up a horizontal post, that's called a korah. So I have like a beam that goes across, and that beam enables this guy, that little X, can carry in the whole mavoi because there's a beam there. That's the halacha of a korah. Now, let me erase. Now here's the thing. When I have a korah hayotzo mikoto zeh ve'eino noga'as bekolto acher. Case one is that the korah goes from one wall but doesn't touch the other wall. Right? The korah extends but doesn't go all the way. V'chein, similarly, shtei koros, achas yotza mikoto zeh, v'achas yotza mikoto acher, ve'einon nogos zu b'zu. Or I have another case, I have two koros, right? One over here, and they don't touch each other. That's like the old joke about how they want to dig a tunnel, so they hire two brothers. One takes a shovel from one side of the river, the other takes a shovel from the other side of the river, and they're like, okay, great. What happens if you guys don't touch each other in the middle? So they say, well, then you'll have two tunnels when we're done, right? No one heard that joke? Okay. It's an engineering joke, right? So here's the thing. You have two korahs. One starts in this wall, the other one starts in this wall. Shtei koros, achas yotze mikoto zeh, v'achas yotze mikoto acher, ve'einon nogos zu bezu. They don't touch each other. Pachos mishlosha, ein tzarech lahavi koracheret. Shlosha tzarech lahavi koracheret. It depends whether this space, right, is it three tfachim or not. If it's less than three, I don't have to bring a new korah. I don't have to bring a new beam. But if it is three, then I have to bring a new beam. So Zakti Gemara, this proves that yesh lovod be'emtza. This halacha of that there is lovod in the middle of the sukkah is proven from the case of korahs. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. I mean, we still have a little bit of a question. The Gemara asks my taima, and the Gemara gives a proof from a source, but we'll have to, we'll talk about this a little more in a few minutes. So Zakti Gemara, the opinion that Yesh Lavad Be'emtza is based on the source of the Korah, that the two beams, even though they don't touch, but if they're within three tzfachim of each other, it's okay. The idach, the other guy. Remember, we don't know who said what, right? It's Rav Acha and Ravina. One of them said, yesh lavad be'emtza. The other one said, ain lavad be'emtza. We're not sure who said what. So what does the other guy do with this source that says that, what does the other guy do with this source that the korahs can connect al yedei lavad? V'idach, the other opinion is, shani koros derabonan. Korah is different because it's a din derabonan. Meaning to say that sukkah is a din d'oraisa. So by sukkah, I'm not going to say lavod be'emtza. However, korah, this whole din, it's not that korah is derabonan. The whole prohibition to carry inside this mavoi, the entire isser to carry, right, when I have the homes on the outside and I'm carrying in the middle, that whole isser is an isser derabonan. Min ha-Torah, I can't carry if it's a rishus harabim. But over here, it's not a rishus harabim, it's not a public area. Because a few homes open up into it, it has some sort of appearance like a public area, but it's not really public. So therefore, Zakti Gemara, maybe I'll say Lavud Be'emtza by the case of the Koros, because that's a Din D'Rabbanan. But I won't say Lavud Be'emtza in the case of Sukkah, which is a Din D'Raisa. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. My time of demand in Lavud Be'emtza. So now the Gemara asks, well, the opinion who says that there is no lavud in the middle, what's his reason? Again, the same problem that we had before. The Gemara asks, what's the reason if you hold ein lavud be'emtza? Zok the Gemara d'tnan. We learned as follows. This is a Mishnah in Ahalos. Ahalos is about Tumas Hames. Let's say, right now we're going to do bird's eye view. Right? So this is the Ohel. Right? This is where the tent, and there's like a corpse, right? There's a corpse, that's a dead person, right? Hey, I'm very good at art, can't you tell? It's a women's Gemara share, right? That's why, it's completely accurate. So the time we learned, Aruba Shebabayis, Uba Poseach Tefach. Let's say you have a skylight. Right, and the skylight is a size of a tefach. That's right there. There's a dead guy, right? That guy over there is dead. So tuma bebayis, kulo tomei. The entire house is tomei. Meaning, let's say I have some kalim over here, or a kohen is over here, something like that. They're all tomei, because they are inside the same house as our dead guy, right? This guy, right, is dead. They're all in the same house, so therefore, everything is tamei. But Masha Keneged Aruba is tahar. Stuff that's opposite the skylight is tahar, meaning if I have somebody who's just hanging out on top of the skylight, right, so that person is tahar. The person who's over here is tamei. Right, because it's all in the same house. But if you're hanging out on top of the skylight, so then you are going to be tahar. Tuma keneged aruba. Right, let's talk about a different case. Let's say you have tuma keneged aruba. Right, here is my house again, and my dead person is Keneged Aruba, is right opposite that skylight. So in the case of Tuma Keneged Aruba, Kol HaBayis Kulo Tahar. In that case, everything is Tahar, because the dead body, the corpse, the Tuma goes up through the skylight, as it were, and it's not Metame the whole house. But Ein Ba'aruba, one second, Tuma keneged aruba, kol habayis kulo tahar. Ein ba'aruba poseach tefach. Let's say you don't have a tefach in the aruba. Let's say this area, right, is not a tefach. The skylight is not a tefach. Tuma bebayis keneged aruba tahar. Tuma keneged aruba, kol habayis kulo tahar. The halach is basically the same in both cases. Whether the case is that the dead person is opposite the skylight, or the case is that the dead person is not opposite the skylight, the halacha in both cases is that someone who's on top of the sky, on skylight, is okay, but kol habayis, but everyone who's inside is tamei. In both cases. Rashi is actually sensitive to how come we have two cases that are exactly the same. Right? The halacha in both cases is the same. Whether the corpse is right underneath the skylight or whether the corpse is underneath the ceiling, in both cases, it's the same halacha, that the stuff opposite the skylight, the stuff up here, is going to be tahar. The stuff inside is going to be tamei. Why do you need both cases, Dr. Rashi? So Rashi says something to the effect of, if you look in the Rashi, it's like three lines before the lines get wide. Sefer Garsinan Kivesha, Ubidvarim Acherim, Yesh Benehem Chiluk, the Mishnah de Ahalos. the seifa is the same as the resha. In other things, for other dinim, there are distinctions there in Maseches Aharos. But for our purposes, there's no distinction. We don't bring the entire Mishnah Nahalos, meaning the Mishnah Nahalos will have some differences between the case where the corpse is under the skylight and the case when the corpse is not under the skylight. There are going to be some cases of difference, but it's not brought over here because over here it doesn't matter for us. But still, we give you two cases which are exactly the same for the purposes of our halacha. Good. Deep breath. Now, it goes like this. The Gemara has a question. What's the reason for the opinion that ein lavud be'emtza? The opinion that yesh lavud be'emtza, we proved from this case in by the korah, the case by the beams that permit carrying in the mavud. That tells me yesh lavud be'emtza. But what's the source, or what's the reason for the opinion that ein lavud be'emtza? So the Gemara says, I can prove it from the case of the skylight and tumah. What's the proof from the skylight that ein lavud be'emtza? How does this proof work?
I don't know if I was understanding it correctly, but I think it's more like if the dead body is right across from the skylight, it doesn't affect the rest of the structure. Like, it doesn't affect the people in the rest of the building. Therefore, the hole is a real hole and it doesn't connect to the rest of the roof.
Right. And how does that prove that there's no love of the emsa? Right? This case, right? So the skylight is right over here and our dead body is right opposite the skylight. How does that prove that ein lavud be'emtza? How big is that skylight?
It's like one tefach, right? It's
small. One tefach. And how big is lavud?
Three.
So that proves ein lavud be'emtza, no? If you would hold of lavud, so then this whole thing is halachically sealed up. Yeah, you have a gap of one tefach, right? But if I hold of lavud, that gap doesn't exist. Because Lover tells me that any gap less than three tvachim is non-existent. So Zok the Gemara, I see from the Mishnah in Ahalos that ain lavud be'emtza. Right? That Mishnah proves to me that a gap in the middle does not matter. V'idach. Right? So the Gemara says, yeah, but the other opinion, meaning the opinion that says that yesh lavud be'emtza, how would that opinion deal with the case in Ahalos? So Zakti Gemara, Shaini Hilchas Tuma, Dehachi Gemiri Lahu. What does that mean? Shaini Hilchas Tuma, Ms. Gutman, how are you?
Isn't that like a halacha Moshe Sinai? Or yeah.
Good. And therefore, so what's Gemara saying?
We don't need a proof for it.
More precisely, a little more precisely, not much more. Shiny hilchos tuma, halachos of tuma are different. Dehachi gemiri lahu, because that's the halacha Moshe Sinai.
Oh, so we can't learn that love doesn't work from the case brought from Ahalos.
Exactly, because Ahalos is governed by different area, it's a different area of law, and the halacha l'maishu misinai doesn't apply to Ahalos. The way Rashi says it in the first wide line, hachi gemiri lahu misinai, right, we learn it halacha l'maishu misinai, de'ein lavud be'emtza, u'mei halacha lo gamin and midi achrita ella ahude itmarbe. From a halacha l'maishu misinai, you can't learn anything else out. You only learn that which was stated clearly, explicitly, without any problems. Halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai cannot be used other ways. You can't extend upon the Halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Why not? Why can't I say, oh, there's a halacha moshe seen by Tuma, so it should apply to Sukkah also? It isn't that complicated. The answer is that halacha moshe Sinai is not logic. Halacha moshe Sinai means that Moses went up to Har Sinai and he came down and he teaches us something that I would not know otherwise. It's not based on the pasuk. If it's based on the pasuk, so then I could say, oh, well, I can use my logic to apply a thing from this pasuk to over there, etc. But I can't do that now. I can't do that. Because it's halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, and the halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai cannot be used in any way beyond the very limited way that it was taught. Halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, you can't learn anything out from. Ad kan, right? That's what the Gemara says. Ms. Gottman, how are you?
I'm good. I just had a question based on what we're seeing here. Then before, when we gave the example from Shabbos, how come that was easily transferable? Especially because I know, like, we learned a couple times some sugyot where we were comparing laws of mechitza for Shabbos.
Let me hear you. In other words, are you asking as follows? Are you asking that once the Gemara says that you can't extend a halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai to any area of halacha beyond where it was formulated, because it's halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, so then wouldn't that answer suffice to teach me why I can't learn from Korah?
Right. Well, not even necessarily that's like halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, but that we've already talked about that Shabbos mechitza and Sukkah mechitza have different laws.
So here's the thing. I think what we're assuming is that Shabbos mechitza and Sukkah mechitza are both fundamentally a din in mechitza. Mm-hmm. It's a barrier. It's a impediment. It's a boundary, it's a wall. So I have a wall. Whether the wall works for Sukkah or for what's it called, or for Shabbos, fundamentally the two ideas are basically dinim of mechitzos. But by tuma, the halacha is not really a din of mechitza. The halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai by mechitza does not apply to tuma, because tuma is a halacha of whether the tumah spreads or it doesn't spread. It's not about mechitzos. It's about what enables the tumah to travel. I think that's what the Gemara means, although you're kind of hitting at one of the difficult points in this entire sugya, which is the rule of Lavud is clearly being expanded upon, right? We have Lavud by Shabbos, by Sukkah, etc. If I'm assuming it's a halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, so then it should be very narrow, and I can't extend it beyond what I have. That seems to be the kasha that you're asking. So apparently the answer is no. The answer is that we allow you to extend it. They're both dinim of mechitza. Let me say it like this. You know, Argamar says as follows. Here's my sukkah, right? If I have schach over here, everyone says I'll say lavud, right? Because min hatzad, on the side, near the wall, I say lavud. The only question that we are asking in our Gemara is when it is lavud be'emtza, when I have in the roof of my sukkah, if I have something less than 3 tefachim. That's our question. Whether there's ein lavud be'emtza or not. Zaktaisvis. Ein lovid beemza. You see the top Tosis? Tosis hainu lemala. Didefanos machshirin lael kana kana pachos migimel. What does Tosis mean? Tosis is saying that the question of lavud be'emtza or not means the emtza of the ceiling. Let's say, assuming this is the wall of the sukkah, right? And this is the wall. So I'm going to say lavud within the walls, right? That for sure I say. I say lavud on wall A, on wall B of the sukkah. The only question I have is whether I say lavud on the ceiling. But I definitely say lavud on the walls. Svara of this is because the Ran explains that if you remember the Gemara on Daf Hey, the Gemara tells us that there are three things which are halacha l'mashe misinai: shiurin, chatzitzin, and achitzin. Right, shiurin in terms of the fact that you have to eat a kezayis, right? Chatzitzin in terms of, you know, the amount, right? The Gemara says that, like, when a woman goes to the mikvah, so if one hair is tied together, that's a chatzitza. If three hairs are tied, that's too loose, it's not a chatzitza. If two hairs are tied together, that's a safek, right? This is why women do chafifa, why they comb their hair before they go to the mikvah, because of chatzitza. That's also halacha l'mashe misinai. Shi'urin is halacha l'mashe misinai. Chatzitzin is halacha l'mashe misinai. And mechitzin is halacha l'mashe misinai. There's a halacha l'mashe misinai that mechitza works, or that there's a din of mechitza. What's halacha l'mashe misinai? Blah, blah, blah. There are halacha l'mashe misinai is within the din of mechitza. What are the halacha l'mashe misinai is within the din of mechitza? So we have our beloved friend, Dofen Akuma, right? We have our halacha of four amos of Dofen Akuma. We have gold, right? Gold is a gold acheh, so gold asik. The fact that the, let's say, the skach of the sukkah doesn't have to touch the walls of the sukkah, right? I can have a mechitz over here and the skach all the way on top, and I'll use my halachic imagination to connect them. Good acheh, good asik, I go up or down. Right, that's the other halacha l'mashe misinai, and the third halacha l'mashe misinai is lavud. Right, so there are three things the Goran Daf Hey says are learned from halacha l'mashe misinai. Right, we learn shiurin, chatzitzin, and mechitzin, and within mechitza, there are three halachas in mechitza itself. There's dofen akuma, and god, and lavud. That means zakh the Ran. That this halacha called lavud is a subset, is a detail within mechitza. If lavud is a detail within mechitza, so then when I have lavud in the schach, I have a question. Can I connect A to B? Can I connect this side of the schach to this side of the schach? Ayyadei lavud, is there lavud the emtza? The Ran says that the question in the Gemara is, well, maybe this roof of the sukkah is not a mechitza. Maybe schach is not a mechitza. The wall is a mechitza, right? Wall is a mechitza, but the schach isn't a mechitza. Schach is just schach. So one opinion is, ein lavud be'emtza, the Ran explains, in the sense of schach is not a mechitza. The halacha l'mashe misinai of lavud is formulated by mechitzas. That's it. According to this analysis, again, we're just explaining Tosfos, right? Tosfos says that there is lavud on the walls of the sukkah, but we have a shaila whether there is lavud in the schach of the sukkah. That shaila basically boils down to a question of whether the schach on top of a sukkah, is it considered a mechitza or not? We don't usually think of it like this. Now, usually when I think of a mechitza, I have something that I imagine like in shul. It goes down, right? Down the wall. It goes north to south. It goes east to west, but it's ground level. I don't usually think of a ceiling or a roof as being a mechitza. But that's because I am not used to flipping shapes over. No, when you think about it, right? A ceiling is also a wall. All you have to do is, there's some like types of math that involve just like flipping shapes. I don't think it's that complicated, but I could flip a ceiling and it becomes a wall. So the opinion that yesh lavad be'emtza is a razzle-dazzle way of saying that the schach is also a mechitza. The opinion of ein lavad be'emtza says, yeah, lavad is a halacha l'mayshim misinai by mechitzas, right? Which is the idea that we were getting at before, that there's no lavad by tuma, because tuma is not a din in mechitza. Tumah is a din that the tumah spreads in the bayis, etc. It's not a halacha mechitza per se. Lavud is a halacha mechitzas. So then they have a machlokes. Is there lavud be'emtza or not lavud be'emtza? That machlokes basically boils down to, is the roof, is the schach, is that considered a mechitza? That's the first conceptual point, the first piece of lumdus I wanted to get at tonight. Hello, Ms. Gutman. How are you?
Good. If the schach is a mechitza, does that mean that all, I guess, more lenient kinds of mechitzos, they should be fine as schach? Like if you had like a lechi.
Whoa. So schach is a mechitza, but it's way more than a mechitza, right? In other words, I can have a mechitza with... I can have a metal mechitza also.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't count to schach, right? There are other rules of schach beyond the fact that it's a mechitza. But schach is also, or that is the question that we're grappling with, is the schach considered a mechitza on its own? Right? Does the schach have the dinim of mechitzas and love what is a din in a mechitza? Does that apply to the schach? That's the question that our Gemara is addressing. So far, so good? Now, let's go on in Taisvis. Uparech. And our question is, Bein Lamad Omer in the first paragraph of Erevin, that Kore Mishum Hekera, Bein Lamad Omer Mishum Mechitza. Okay. Our question is, according to both opinions. The Gemara at the beginning of Erevin has a discussion about this halacha that we spoke about. If I have my mavli and my alleyway, there are homes on the side, I have my alleyway. So I put a korah, I put a beam up on top. So there are two conceptual ways of understanding that korah. The korah could either be a hecker, it could either be just something that helps me remember. How do I remember that I can carry over here and I can't carry over here? The answer is I have a korah, I have a beam. It's a hecker. It's a reminder. The other possibility is that, no, korah is considered a mechitza of sorts. But according to both opinions, the question in our Gemara, and the reason why the Gemara is invoking korah, is because a korah is on top. And we have a question that maybe lavud does not help on top, even if kaira is mechitza, zaktaisvis, maybe mechitza can't help on top. Meaning, according, let me say it a little more precisely than I said before. 2 minutes ago, I simplified matters. I said that the question in the Gemara is whether the schach is a mechitza. Tosis is not exactly saying that. What Tosis is saying is that even if it is a mechitza, But perhaps is a halacha that mechitzas at the top are not subject to the rules of lavud. The rule of lavud is only a halacha on the sides, not a halacha on the top. Now, this is already harder to understand. Why would that be? The simplified way that I said it, right, earlier, that the question in the Gemara is whether the schach is called a mechitza, Tosis is clearly not saying that, because Tosis is noting that even that our Gemara, I should say, is going according to the opinion that that Korah is mechitza, and still I say lavud by the Korah. So the question in our Gemara is not a pure question of mechitza versus not. Do I need to say this in a different way, or is the point I'm making somewhat clear? Just not sure if I'm getting blank stares, or should I say it again, Tamar? Yes, okay. So we're going to try it again. My initial presentation of the Gemara, which I based on the Ran, is that the question as to whether there is lavud on the top relates to whether the top, the ceiling, the schach, is that a mechitza or is that not a mechitza? That there certainly is lavud on the walls, because the walls are a mechitza, and lavud is a halacha and mechitza. But we want to know about the top, whether there is lavud, because the top may or may not be a mechitza. Now, the Gemara tried to prove from the din of Korah. The Gemara tried to prove the halacha from the beam by the Eruv. Now, Zok Taisvis, that case of the Korah, there are two ways of understanding it. Either it's Mishum Mechitza or Mishum Heker. Either that horizontal post is just as a reminder, or it is a halacha of Mechitza. Now, if that's the case, so then the Gemara is saying that the Gemara is asking a question from Korah, even though Korah is a mechitza. We see that you could say lavud. One second. Maybe it's good I said it over, because maybe I didn't understand it myself when I said it the first time. I'll say it like this. We see that by Korah, we say lavud. But the possibility exists that a Korah is not a mechitza, and I still say lavud. Right? The way I set up the Gemara, based on the Ran, is that the possibility of lavud only exists on something which is a mechitza. Yet, I say lavud by a Korah, even though there are opinions that the Korah is not a mechitza.
Are you saying that you can view the Korah as like ceiling, so to speak, or roofing, because it's going horizontal and you'd walk under it?
So you could say it like that, but then why would it be that the halach of lavud only applies to verticals, not to horizontals? But I don't know the logic. I thought there's a bit of a logic because maybe something that's horizontally on top of me is not a mechitza, and that's why there would be no lavud. And the opinion that there is lavud is because it is a mechitza, even though it's on top of me. But Tosos is saying that the conversation about Korah is true, whether a Korah is a heker or a mechitza. Any way I understand Korah, I can apply the principle of that I say lavud by Korah. But if I was right 5 minutes ago that I can only say lavud on something which is a mechitza, so it should be impossible to say lavud on a Korah if I hold that Korah is not mechitza. And that's the point I'm trying to underscore. So obviously, Tosos is not saying it exactly the way the Ran said it before. Obviously, Tosos is saying something more similar to what Rachel said, that the question in the Gemara is that maybe lavud only applies on the side, not on top. And I could hear that's the question of the Gemara, but what I'm bothered by is I don't know a logical reason why there should be a difference between the side and the top, why there should be a difference between vertical and horizontal. The first way I said it made sense to me, that maybe lavud only applies to mechitzos, but if that's the case, so then our Gemara could only be working within that opinion that the Korah is a mechitza. Yet Taisus is saying that our Gemara is going even according to the opinion that Korah is a heker. Is it somewhat more clear now? Good. Okay, good. I don't know an answer to this, Kasha. But one thing I do know is that Tosfos is saying it slightly differently than the Ran said it. V'im Tomar. Let's continue the Tosfos. Im ein lovet be'emtza, im kein silosam ruba mechamosa ti pasel ad shetehe mechusa yafa u'me'uva kemin bayis, shelo yehe bo nekev. Right, what Tosfos is kasha? This is like a really good kasha.
Is it that if there's no lavud in schach, then even if you have any gap at all, then you're in trouble? And so the problem is schach's supposed to have holes in it by definition, so then you're kind of in a catch-22.
Exactly. I mean, the one thing that's different than the way you said it is technically speaking, the schach can be kosher without any holes. People will see later on, like five da from now, that you are yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah if you do not see the stars through it. But that's not the standard schach has holes in it. So Tosfos is asking, if you were to hold that ein lavud be'emtza, so then you just passled almost every sukkah on the planet. In order for a sukkah to be kosher, it would have to be what Tosfos calls mu'uva kimin bayis, as thick as a house. Right? It would require very, very thick layering of schach. It would require that there ain't shelo yehe bo nekev, that there's no hole in it at all. That Tosfos is kasha. So Tosfos answers, lav pirchehi. Does anyone want to explain this? This is my sukkah, three walls. So Tosfos says, Tosa says, let's say this is the door to the sukkah, right? Over here, this is old door, right? This whole side. Zoktosis, the halacha of lavud, that would be problematic, is when you have the airspace going straight down the middle. That's when the halacha is it's problematic. Because if the airspace goes straight down the middle, so when you think about it, if I am over here, how many walls of a sukkah do I have? 1, 2. If I'm over here, I have 1, 2 walls. In both areas where I am, right, if you have a gap of 3 tefachim in the middle, that would invalidate the sukkah because you just created a situation that you only have 2 walls. And to be a kosher sukkah, you need 3 walls. So Tosis asked the kasha. Tosis says, 1 second, if you're going to tell me that there is no lavud, wouldn't that invalidate almost every sukkah in the world because there are tiny gaps? Right? There are holes in almost every sukkah. So Tosis answers that you misunderstood everything. When our Gemara has a question about whether there's lavud be'emtza or there's no lavud be'emtza, what our Gemara is asking is, in this particular case where you have the where it goes right down the middle, right? So I'm left with only 2 walls. That's when I have a shiloh, whether there's lavud. If this would be, let's say, less than 3 tefachim, then I have a question whether there's lavud be'emtza. But in a case where, let's say, it would be going this way, so then the sukkah for sure is okay. You know, not me, I did it wrong. Let's say this is the sukkah, right? So one version, the version that would be a problem, is if I have the airspace straight down the middle, because I'll say, ein lavud be'emtza, and then I don't have 3 walls. However, if I have the airspace going this way, so it's going to be kosher, right? Because from the perspective of the green person, there are 3 walls in the sukkah. No? 1, 2, 3. So this area is not going to be good, but this area is fine. As opposed to if I follow the purple line down the middle, so that would invalidate the sukkah because I'm left with only 2 walls. If that's the case, Zoktosis, so when I have a schach, when I have a ceiling and there's like little holes here, there, and everywhere, right? You have tiny little holes through it. Tosis asks, shouldn't I say that ein lavud be'emtza in every sukkah is puzzle? The answer is no, you misunderstood. Ein lavud be'emtza is only talking about when I have coast-to-coast airspace. But if the airspace is not coast-to-coast, then it's going to be a problem. And by the way, and even if the airspace is coast-to-coast, so then it could be okay, providing on the direction of the airspace. So Tosis is telling me that there's no problem at all when there is small gaps in the ceiling. Because if there are small gaps in the ceiling, that's not subject to our conversation about whether lavud be'emtza or not. Because our conversation about lavud be'emtza is only if the avir is holeich al pnei kulo, is only if it is coast-to-coast airspace. That's when I have a conversation about whether there is lavud be'emtza or not. Is that what Taisa said? All in agreement? Okay, I agree with what I said. Excellent. Okay, so the basic idea that Tosis has Did any of you have a chance to do the rush yet? No.
I like okay. skimmed it, but didn't fully get all of it.
So maybe for next week, we'll work through this next tesis and the rush. And there is a Reb Akiva Eiger that I promised Zoe that I would do on the Tosfos on Bav of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, but I forgot about it then. So that Reb Akiva Eiger does come up at the end of that rush in Siman Lamed Gimel, so we can discuss that next week in Yirtzeh Hashem. Okay, Chevra? Questions, comments, jokes?
I guess just yeah. as a comment, so I don't have a reason for it, but I actually did always assume that Lovid was a horizontal thing, not a vertical, was always a vertical thing and not a horizontal thing. I don't know why, but like, I remember when I was learning Chavruta with Sim and Tanya, the first time we applied to Slach, I was like, that's like a thing. That's like, I don't know. I don't have a reason for why it shouldn't be work in both directions.
No, again, it could be.
It wasn't intuitive.
When I look at the world, my spatial orientation might be that I think of Lovud as more in the vertical area rather than the horizontal. But like Min HaSavara, I don't know why that should be true. The only real reason that I could think of is if I hold that the top is not a mechitza, but Tosis obviously is not saying that. That was the basic point that I was getting at tonight.
Definitely interesting.
Yeah, I mean, again, maybe there is some reason I'm just not thinking of. Often things that are intuitive to us, there is some reason, but I just can't think of one. So that's our homework. Okay, Chevra, excellent. So you should have a wonderful evening, a good Shabbos, keep the faith, and all stuff like that. Okay, all the best. Kol
tov.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night. I close this.